All right, we are still in Psalm 141, and we're toward the end of it. There's a transition at this point in this psalm. He's dealt with his dilemma and so on. He's asked for the Lord to make sure that he's on the right side, and that was where we spent a lot of our time last week, that so often we find ourselves in a point of conflict, and we always assume we're in the right. At least that's the way it is most of the time. And to perhaps have God open our eyes to things that we have done, that we have said, that have exacerbated the situation. And make sure that we are indeed on the right side of the issues. And then in verse 7, we have David's confidence in what God is doing. Now, he states his present dilemma a little bit there in verse 7. He says, our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth. That's an idiom, and that's the idea that not only are we as good as dead, but we didn't get a proper burial. As one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. When you're chopping wood and the chips are flying here and there, that he says our bones are scattered around like that. So he's saying that our situation is desperate. But, verse 8, I always like the contrast with that kind of a horrible situation. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God. O God the Lord. By the way, it's very interesting. You don't usually see those two different terms for God together. You see, I mean, somewhat. You see it a fair bit in the book of Ezekiel, but not too often elsewhere. I noticed that the word God is all in caps, and so if you have your King James Version, a lot of other versions do the same thing, where in your Old Testament, if it's Lord all in caps, that's what we normally understand as Jehovah or Yahweh in some of the newer translations. We don't know how it was pronounced. The vowel pointing, the Jews would not pronounce it, and therefore the pronunciation was lost. But when it's in conjunction with the word Adonai, which means Lord, sometimes referred to as another human being, if you're talking to a noble or somebody who is above you socially, they're referred to as your Lord. In your Old Testament, they use that word Adonai as well as addressing God. But when you have the word Adonai in conjunction with the word Jehovah, you don't want to have Lord, Lord, so they translate the word Jehovah, God, with all caps. So that's why it's that way. It says, in thee, resting in my Lord, resting in God, in thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute, regardless of my circumstances. And I'm thankful for Dean's testimonies that he has given over the last number of months in this regard. It doesn't matter what my circumstances are. My trust is in God. And I don't have to look and be overwhelmed by this issue that I'm dealing with and this one that I'm trying to cope with and these circumstances. And yeah, they could be better. And look, I can rejoice in what I do have and know the fact that day by day my needs are met. And very often at the last minute. So I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. Most of the things we worry and fret about never happen. I need to make sure that God is my trust. And he says, leave not my soul destitute. Because that's David's present situation in this psalm. He says, keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and from the gins, or the engines, the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets whilst that I withal escape. Let them be caught in their own trap. And then I'll be able to escape. And so often that is the case. People find themselves, people who are doing wickedness end up tripping over the things that they have done themselves. We see that all the time historically. We see that, very often in office politics. We see that all the time. And so David is asking for, in essence, in verses 9 and 10, asking for justice to prevail against the enemies. All right, let's go to Psalm 142. This is a brief psalm. In the title it says a maskil, which is the idea of contemplation, to be thinking about this, to meditate upon this. And it says a prayer when David was in the cave. Now we get into the psalm, we find out that David was alone. And so we go to the book of 1 Samuel and find out, when was David in a cave in alone in a serious situation? It was only one time, and that was when he initially fled from Saul. It all came down very suddenly. It was boom, boom, boom. There had been the earlier threat, and that everything worked out, and then all of a sudden Saul is determined to kill David. And so David flees for his life. He's had to leave his wife. He's had to leave his prestigious position in the court. He's on his own. He's got whatever he could carry off with him. He was a shepherd boy in the south of Judea, and so he knows he knows the countryside very well. That's one of the reasons why he hid out there for so long. He knows the countryside. And the bedrock in most of Israel is limestone. If you look at where the caves are, the major caves all around the world, almost all of them are in limestone country. Limestone is very slowly, but it is water soluble, and if you have water running through these things, it creates caves. And David is hiding in a cave by himself. And so we have this psalm. Now there's a whole bunch of things that are come. If you go back and read in 1 Samuel, you'll find there's a whole lot of things that just boom, 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 come together after all this. He's still on the run. He'll be on the run for years. But he says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication." Now, in both of those, the parallels that you have there, both of them refer to the voice. I don't know about you. I can say yes to this. Have you ever been in a situation where you're just so overwhelmed that you're just pouring out your heart out to God? You're alone. You want to find a place to be where it's just you and God, and you just cry out to God. A little over 20 years ago, 21 years ago or so, my wife and I were going through a huge trial because of some circumstances we were experiencing beyond our control. And we were both putting on the happy face with each other, but we were just inside, just being ripped apart and just really hurting. And I remember she was pregnant with Sam at the time, and I had David at home, and David was, I don't know, 9 months or something like that. And I'm sitting on the couch. Aaron has gone someplace, and I'm sitting on the couch with David on my lap, and I just burst into tears, and I started praying to God and asking him to intervene. I cried out. I cried out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint. Okay, verse 2. So now we're going to talk about what we're crying out about. My complaint. Here's the circumstances I'm in. And then a slight change on that. I showed before him my trouble. I explained to God. I love the fact that the psalmist does this, because it helps us, because we do the same thing. Have you ever, I do this all the time. Maybe you do too. You explain things to God as if God needs information. But David does that too. He's got his complaint, the situation I'm in. God, I, what did I do? I am on the lam, I am fleeing for my life, and I am in wholly innocent. I have done no wrong. And yet I'm fleeing for my life. I have had to leave everything behind. I don't know what the future holds. Now, David had a benefit that we don't have. He had a promise that he's going to be king. Now, how God is going to bring him from the situation where he's alone in a cave with his life being threatened to being on the throne, we'll see what God does. Go back and read 1 Samuel. Put yourself in his sandals here at the very beginning. What in the world is going on? I mean, I could see how God, you brought me to the court and I became a general, a young guy. He's in his 20s. He's a general, a very successful soldier. He is the king's son-in-law. He's part of the court. He's there on a regular basis before the king. He has access to the king. The crown prince is his best friend. He's got a great setup. He's got a great situation. All of a sudden, boom, it's all gone. And so that's my situation. And let God, while I'm talking to you, let me explain to you what's going on. Now God knows. You're not walking up to God, tapping him on the shoulder because he's engrossed in something else. God knows what's going on in your life. And the great benefit is that God also knows how it's all going to turn out. Because God has plan and purpose. And as we will see with, you know, if you go through 1 Samuel, go through this, for David's situation, it will get worse before it gets better. And David is going to have some spiritual ups and downs during the course of this thing. There's like three chapters of 1 Samuel where God is not mentioned because David is doing something that really isn't right. And God isn't mentioned. And when he said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, that is when God is mentioned again. Because that's when he went back to Ziklag and found out that his wife and children, along with all of his compatriots, wives and children, everything, all their stuff had been carried off captive. And their city had been burned with fire. Ziklag had been burned with fire. It says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. Because his own men were talking about stoning David to death. That's the first time God is brought up again after about three chapters. Ups and downs. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know what the end is going to be. And yes, things sometimes get worse before they get better. God, let me explain this to you. But God knows. God knows. I showed before him my trouble. Lord, here's the issue I'm dealing with. And I want to make sure I give you all the details so you'll know how to take care of this. It's kind of interesting that in the Psalms, now understand that we have other pieces about God's character and so on in the rest of the scripture. And very often we do this same thing when we're praying, especially when we're in a hard situation or when we're looking at somebody else's hard situation. How many of you when you're praying, let's be honest, how many of you when you're praying give God suggestions? Yeah, okay, all right. In my experience, mostly God does something that I never thought of. And it always turns out better than I had. It could be this way, this way, or this way. It won't be that one. It'll be this one over here. God has better plans than we do. God has better suggestions than we do. So when my spirit was overwhelmed, when I was experiencing more than I could handle, thou knewest my path. Lord, you know exactly where I am. You know what I'm experiencing. You know what I will be experiencing. Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walk, they have privily laid a snare for me. Lord, you know that I'm innocent. And yet I'm suffering because I have done right. And we see that frequently in the scripture. You see people suffering for righteousness' sake. We see that mentioned a number of times in the Psalm. That's really a lot of what 1 Peter is all about. The fiery trial that awaits God's children. I looked on my right hand. Here's the circumstances, David. He's going back to explaining the situation to God. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me or take note of me. Refuge failed me. I had no place. No one would take me in. No one would protect me. No man cared for my soul. Sometimes we have sympathizers, but they're not willing to stick their necks out. It's too costly. If I stick up for you, then I'm going to sacrifice this. Or if I stick up for you, then these people are going to think this of me. Or in David's situation, your life could be on the line. Because it's Saul, who's the absolute monarch, the king, who is trying to kill David. If anybody goes in there and tries to defend David, sticks up for David and takes David's side, they could die. They could lose their lives. And so he says, no man cared for my soul. I am alone. I don't have anybody who will come and help me. Now, this is at this point. There will be some that come. But at this point, when he is writing this, he's alone. No one cares for me. I have no allies. And as you go back and read 1 Samuel, you'll see that he did a couple of, I think, rather foolish things at the very beginning of this, trying to escape. But understand that one of the great privileges of being a child of God is that truly we are never alone. J.R. McDuff, I'm going to paraphrase because I don't have the quote here in front of me. J.R. McDuff, who was a popular devotional writer about 150 years ago, from Scotland, go figure, McDuff, said that he that is alone has probably the worst of all possible companions. But he who is alone with God has the best of all possible companions. And so if you think about a lost person who would be in David's situation, there's despair, and that's all you've got. But for the child of God, I'm not alone. If I am in the right, number one, if I'm God's child, I have God. And if I'm in the right, then this is ultimately part of God's plan for my life, and I am doing what he wants me to do, and granted the hardship, the difficulty, the pain, the fear, the whatever is part of that process. He says, I cried unto thee, repeating that same refrain there. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. In the here and now. We have it. It's kind of interesting. You read, you go through our song books. And so many of our songs, we see this especially in the evening when we sing first and last verse. So many of our songs, the last verse is dealing with when I get to heaven. Or when I'm dying. Christians, pardon me, I don't mean to be offensive. When I lived in the South, and I lived in the South for 9 years, so I have sympathy for this, but the songs that we used to call twang diddle songs. You know, a lot of the quartet type numbers that are more toward the back of our hymnal. Have you noticed that almost all of them deal with heaven? Have you noticed that? Okay. Christians have a tendency, right or wrong, to be fixated with the hereafter. Now that's good. My inheritance is in heaven. My father awaits me. I will have a glorified body. And as this thing gets worn out and begin, I got this problem. You know, it's kind of nice to know that there's going to come a day when I'm going to have a body that'll be better than mine was at 17. Okay. It's just going to be absolutely magnificent. It's going to be incredible. It will be pain-free. It will be able to do things that this one never was able to do. And I never have to worry about something happening to it because it's permanent. It will always be good. Okay, so we look forward to these things. We look forward to being free from sin and free from the very presence of sin and temptation. That'll all be gone one day. You say, well, why wouldn't I think about heaven? Okay, that's fine. That's great. But David says, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Right now, I need to be paying attention to what I am doing right now. Hereafter is taken care of. I have a place, Peter says, I have a place reserved for me. I have a reservation, and it's with God's credit card. It's being held. So what I need to focus on, because where I stand, not as God's child, but as far as rewards and so on in the hereafter, are dependent not on what happens then, but what happens now. What am I doing for God now? How am I responding to my circumstances now? One of the things that we sometimes think of, at least as a preacher, I do. You know, we read the biographies, we hear the stories, so-and-so preached for 47 years, and he addressed 500,000 people during the course of his ministry, and he saw over 100,000 professions of faith during the course of his ministry. Boy, can you imagine the rewards he'll have in heaven? This little old lady over here, who has been so very faithful, for 65 years and without being ostentatious has prayed faithfully and diligently and has been kind and sweet and ministered to the saints, I'll guarantee you that she is going to receive as great a reward or greater reward than some of those preachers that have, that we hold out as far and have the biographies and so on. It isn't how much, it's what you did with what God gave you to do. And some are given greater opportunities and some less. Some are given these gifts and some are given these gifts. The issue is, use the gifts that God has given you to the greatest of your spiritual ability, limited by circumstances and so forth. I need to be focused on the here and now. I need to recognize that God is my refuge and my portion in the land of living. Right now, I can trust God. I can't just take the attitude, well, if I die, I get to go to heaven. That's good. That's always comforting. I don't have to worry about that. But I ought to be focused on, all right, what am I going to do today? What am I going to be doing tomorrow? How can I serve God? Not just, let's see, tomorrow's a shopping day. What goes on the list? My wife and I, Monday is shopping day. That's our date day together. We go out and we go shopping. We go to Fred Meyer. Pardon me, that's not necessarily an ad. We go to Fred Meyer and we go to Costco. And somewhere along the way, we grab some lunch. And that way we do the main mundane stuff together. And it's a date day. All right? So I'm thinking about what goes on the shopping list. Where are we going to have lunch? And what do we need at Costco? And double check with the kids, see if there's anything else they need. It's more than that. It's how can I serve God today? One of the things I once in a while I fail, but one of the things I try to do, one of the things when I'm getting ready and when I'm ready to walk out the door, tracks go in my pocket. Because invariably, if I don't have any, that's the day that I wish I had one. I go through just minding my own business, going about doing my regular stuff, going to the store, going to lunch, whatever the case may be. I give out 3, 4, 5 of those a week. Now, some of those are going to get read. Okay, just how can I plan my day? What am I doing for God? God is the point of my day. If I'm doing mundane stuff, I can't separate the secular from the sacred. I can't separate the mundane stuff in my life from the spiritual parts of my life. For the Christian, Bob Jones Sr. said, every bush is a burning bush. And all ground is holy ground. And it doesn't matter where we are, what we're doing, we are God's child and God's representative in that place. So let's be busy doing what we're supposed to be doing. You are my portion in the land of living. In the here and now, even in spite of the fact that my life is on the line here, Lord, I need to live right. You are my portion in the land of living. Attend unto my cry. Again, that word again. For I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors. For they are stronger than I. God's enemies, as far as the world is concerned, as far as what we can see with our eyes, are almost always stronger than we are. And yet somehow God's children have managed to survive, and somehow or another, in many places, we prosper at times and have a major impact on the culture in the time and place in which we live. They're stronger than I. But remember that I'm not alone because I have God. Bring my soul out of prison. Due to the circumstances, due to the, he says, well, I was in the cave. David is not in a dungeon or a jail somewhere. When he's talking about a prison, he's using this metaphorically. And he's referring to the trap, the situation that he's in, from the circumstances that I, at least at present, seemingly I can't escape from. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about. For thou hast dealt bountifully with me. He's asking for God's deliverance, not for his own benefit, but for the sake of testimony. There's a number of things that I pray for. Lord, I ask that you would resolve this particular issue for testimony's sake. It is a reproach. And Lord, I ask that this might be taken care of, that you might be honored by this. We need to make sure that there are things in our own lives that are not a stumbling block, that are not a reproach. And that when God delivers us, this is why we start out with praise. I'll give you a praise that I didn't mention during the prayer time. I just woke up extra early this morning. I got up just after 5. And I went ahead and came down here. Turned on the heat. Make sure the ladies were warm when we got here. And I came in here, and I come over here to this thermostat, and it's blank. Oh, great. And so, but I looked faintly at the top, it said battery, something or other. Oh, it's not hardwired, it's got batteries. And so I fiddle around with it, and I get it off the wall, and it's got 4 batteries in the back of it. Great. Took me just a couple minutes because they were exactly the same batteries that we use in this thing. And we have a whole package of them back there. So I had to move 2 yards to get my batteries instead of in my pajamas running over here to 7-Eleven and getting some. Just very grateful. But giving testimony to God's grace and his goodness. For thou hast dealt bountifully with me. All right, any additional thoughts or questions or anything on this passage? All right, we finished a little bit early. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are always with us. Father, that you empower us, that you know what we're going through, and even though we want to explain it to you, you know. You're not oblivious to our circumstances. As a matter of fact, you're in control of the circumstances. And Father, you also know how it's going to turn out, and this is all part of your plan and purpose. And sometimes hardship and difficulty is part of your plan. And at the time, we don't appreciate it. When we come through the other side, even if we don't appreciate it in the here and now, we will in the hereafter. So Father, in the here and now, let's be focused on what we need to do to honor and glorify you. With eternity in mind, let's focus on the present. Father, you are with us. May we recognize the fact that you are in charge. And Father, how can I serve you in the circumstances I find myself in, whether they be good or bad? We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.